dreams.
We should get together next year.
Okay,
we should do that.
Let's make that happen.
All right. Now, I know we say this and then we don't do it. Let's do it. Let's actually do it.
Okay.
Really, really fun show. Yeah. Thank you so much for the time. And thank the staff over there at Family Nutcher Foods for letting me bower you for a couple hours.
Thanks for putting up with me.
Keep on heading over there, everybody. Our gang at Family Nutcher Foods, they're open right now. Open till about 4 today at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You can always give them a call at 423-3120. That's 423-3120. Visit their website, FamilyNaturalFood.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. We'll talk with you and your brother very soon. You take care, Katrina.
Perfect.
Wish you and yours a happy New Year's.
Yes, and you as well, and the listeners.
We'll be back with Morning Magazine coming up right here on the Mornings at WFHR.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Josh Haven is among thousands of Southwest Airlines passengers been stranded this week. And to paraphrase comedian W.C. Fields, all things considered, he'd rather not be in Philadelphia.
To get an email while we're on the train that the flight had been canceled. I mean, the flight's in 2 hours. I've been waiting for 5 days, and now we're not going anywhere.
FlightAware says Southwest accounts for more than 2,500 of the nearly 2,800 U.S. cancellations today. Correspondent Tanya Rivero on possible alternatives.
For travelers stranded right now, here are some tips to help. Most airlines will try to book you on the next available flight, but that doesn't mean they will check other carriers. And try to look for flights that leave in the morning or at night. Those tend to be the most reliable.
With a snow moving out, plows are moving into Buffalo. WIVB TV's Tara Lynch.
With nearly 50 inches of snow covering the streets, the city of Buffalo is facing the next challenge in this historic storm, attempting to clear the roads. Emergency crews are working tirelessly to get the snow, ice, and hundreds of abandoned vehicles off the road.
The West Coast is getting snow and heavy rain from Washington State to California. The surface high, too high for this man in Seaside, Oregon.
A little bit wild, actually. It's been really windy. Power kind of went on and off all night, and power's out now all over the place here.
High tides, known as king tides, and heavy rains caused heavy flooding in Seattle's South Park neighborhood. In China, the government reports low COVID death numbers, but the traffic in hospitals and funeral homes has many thinking the real numbers are probably much higher. CBS's Lucy Kraft is in Tokyo.
Relief over the end of lockdowns has been tempered, with a nation now in extreme distress. Some estimates suggest more than half of all Beijing residents are infected. Dr. Howard Bernstein says his Beijing hospital has run out of beds.
The hospital is just overwhelmed from top to bottom.
New York Congressman-elect George Santos says he lied about his education and work resume, but he still plans to take office next month. Some of his fellow Republicans say they're less than thrilled with him. More from CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
The chairman of the Nassau County Republican Committee said Santos has broken the public trust. And one Republican congressman-elect, Nick LaLota, who will represent a neighboring Long Island district, is calling for a congressional investigation and possible involvement by law enforcement.
Santos's explanation, quote, "We do stupid things in life." Early trading in Wall Street, the Dow is up 73 points. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
Hi, I'm Anthony Imparato, president of Henry Repeating Arms. Patriotic Americans are looking to protect and provide for their families now more than ever. For your home and in the field, there is a Henry that is right for you. We have over 200 Henry rifles and shotguns to choose from, in a variety of calibers and finishes, all backed by our lifetime guarantee and my personal guarantee for your 100% satisfaction. You have my word that Henry Repeating Arms are made in America, always will be, or they won't be made at all. I invite you to visit henryusa.com to order a free catalog, decals, and a list of Henry dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com or call 1-800-958-4993. Thank you and God bless America.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 35. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 32. Tonight, overcast. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Cloudy skies expected Friday with daytime highs approaching 33. 35 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this December 28th, 2022. It is 10:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from ODC. Looking forward to catching up with them. Right now, we are going to hang out and catch up with our good friend, Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, James.
Oh, let me get
squeeze one more of these in this year.
Just one more. You got to put up with me one more time, Lance, for this year. We also, of course, have Taylor and our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. Say a good morning to them. Thank you very much for being here. Good to see you guys. And that's kind of what we're going to do a little bit today, Lance, is talk about the year in review. Before we get to that and some of the things to look forward to in 2023, I know you had some a couple things you wanted to touch on. Powers Bluff, we got some information there we wanted to touch on.
Yeah, kind of interesting. You know, for those of you out there listening or watching, James and I don't do any show prep.
Nope.
This is a free-flowing conversation, so I hope it's entertaining at least. you know, one of the things we talked about, you know, this will be our last show this year, but as we head in to the end of this year and the start of next year, you know, one of the things that we have going at Wood County is our operation up at Powers Bluff. Mm. And it's extremely well-received. It's a great opportunity when the weather provides us snow. And this year we have that. We have a boatload of snow. So we've had... We opened up on Monday. We're going to be open every day through the 1st for a morning session that runs from 10 to 1 and an afternoon session that runs from 1 to 4. And you can tube or you can ski. Those sessions are $12 is the cost. If you want to do all day, the cost is $20. But the conditions are perfect. The Parks Department would love to see you up there. And it's a great way to get the family out and have some real fun. You know, instead of sitting inside, the weather's supposed to be relatively warm, unless we have a huge rain event or something to that effect, you know, a little bit weather dependent. Should be a great opportunity. The other thing I'm going to mention is snowmobile trails are closed yet. And everybody's going, why in the world would those be closed? And the reason is there are so many trees down because of that storm. Now, I can tell you personally, I probably have 3 miles of trails on my own land, and I got about a quarter of a mile of it clear enough to get a snowmobile through right now due to the heavy snow and damage. So what they're asking is, if there's anybody inclined, get a hold of your local snowmobile club. They're looking for people to go out and help. You know, and that might be removing branches, cutting some of those small trees that have bent over off those trails. So if you're inclined, call your local snowmobile club. Give them a hand because we got plenty of snow, but the groomers can't get through some of these areas yet.
Yeah, you know, we talk about this. Actually, Sheriff Becker and I talk about this around this time of year all the time, where so many people give up some of their land so that we can drive our snowmobiles on them, and they don't really ask for anything in return other than treating that land with respect. Here's one way where we can kind of give back a little bit. We can help out a little bit. We love using these trails. Might as well help out a little bit. And this time of year, not bad to get a little exercise in, like with that. It doesn't involve shoveling.
Well, you know, I can. You know, you make a really good point, and I'd like to touch on that. You know, Wood County has a tremendous amount of our trails cross private land, and you'll see signs on those trails, and I've been a snowmobiler for, I hate to say it because I'll say how old I am, you know, it's probably like 55 years. But when they have signs that say stay on trail, or there's trail markers out there that they expect you to ride between. You need to do that, because when you violate or you go outside of those bounds, those landowners tend to want to close those trails, and it's extremely hard to work around. And you say, well, why do they care? Well, it creates ice conditions underneath, kills their alfalfa, other crops, creates other issues, and they're doing us a service. I mean, an unbelievable service. So I would beg, implore, ask you to, you know, please abide by those trail markers. Stay on the trail. Don't decide that it looks powdery out in that field, I'm going to go right across it. If that's what you want to do, find an area that allows that, and or buy your own land and exactly. Ride around in the powder.
Yeah.
But stay on the trails.
Yeah. Again, you know, Sheriff and I talk about this, and it every year kind of boggles my mind to a degree, because I love, first off, the almost, you know, I know there are some things signed here and all this, but it's almost a gentleman's agreement kind of thing of like, hey, I'm going to give up a little of my land here. You guys treat it good. We'll come back next year, the whole thing over again. And with that, you have this great agreement that's already in place. But then you have these knuckleheads that got to mess it up for everybody. And you bring up another point where if this happens too much, somebody, I don't have to have my trail out there. I'm taking it off.
Yep, and they close a trail. They close, let's say, a quarter of a mile across a 40. It isn't like you just go to the neighbors and go around it. It may create a multi-mile headache of trying to reroute and change things. So, you know, like I said, I really ask that you do that. The result, if you don't, is they close the trails.
Exactly.
And it gets much more difficult for those of us who do snowmobile. And I know the sheriff does ride as well.
Yep.
Takes away a lot of those opportunities.
And that happens more and more and more. And before you know it, you've got like a mile trail. Like, that's it. Like, you're just going back and forth. And that's all that there is for anybody to ride on or anything. And you're waiting your turn because that's all there is. So there's plenty of other snowmobile. That's not that far-fetched. This isn't a birthright. It's a privilege. It's something that we're very fortunate to have.
In smaller blocks of land. You know, you go up north where some of it was, you know, paper company owned, some of it's state or national forest, you know, you have miles and miles of same ownership here. Generally speaking, you know, minimally every, sometimes it's every driveway, but as you get to a trail, but every, you know, 1320 feet, basically that quarter mile, you have another landowner in many cases that you have to negotiate with. And when I say negotiate, I'm not talking dollars, I'm talking they are providing the right to cross their property.
Yeah. I don't think that anybody in town here that lives in town would want me to take my Jeep and drive on their lawn. They would be very upset with that. That would not be cool. That would ruin their lawn. It's not that different than what's going on here with our people that live in more country area or anything and giving up some of their land. Those snowmobiles, the things that you said there, Lance, are important too. Even just on the simple fact of tearing up ground that for them, that's their house, that's their land. They can't be doing this.
Yeah, and so, you know, so that's a consideration. The other thing, you know, a lot of our cross-country ski trails, snowshoe type opportunities, those exist right now. Those trails are groomed. Yeah. Get out there, enjoy winter. You know, nobody likes it when it's 20 below. And that was my concern. We finally got snow. It's going to be 10 below with 20 below wind chills, and nobody's going to get out. And this week, provided we don't get any rain, is going to be give you every opportunity to get out and enjoy some of that.
I encourage you to do that. There's so much to take in our area, whether it is even outside of Wood County, Portage County, all of our surrounding areas.
Yeah, those don't end at a road or a boundary.
Not nearly as much.
Those are community kind of things.
Now, Wood County is where our focus is, and there is plenty to do. I encourage you to check it out. And you can find out more by going to their website, co.wood.wi.us, co.wood.wi.us. Speaking of Wood County, as the board goes, Lance, kind of looking at the past year, are there things that stand out to you kind of in a year in review segment? That's part of this part of the segment, the year in review. Are there things that stand out to you that you guys are proud of that, not to make you necessarily speak for the whole board, but that is kind of what we have you do when you come in here. What are some things that stand out to you about 2022?
Yeah, and I do speak for myself. I am a spokesperson for the board. I try not to say anything that's going to get them all mad.
Right, ever. I hear you. I hear you.
No, I made at the end of last week's board meeting, I made the comment. We get to this time of year, and there's a retrospection, often an introspection, where you kind of take stock of, you know, where the last year took you, what those successes were, what those failures were, what we can do better. And I think each and every board member does that individually. And then as a board, you tend to look back and say, where did we do things that worked? Where did we do things that didn't? How can we do things better? Mm-hmm. And this time of year, actually from probably a little bit after Thanksgiving until after the first of the year. It is kind of a reset time. Mm-hmm. You know, our budgets are done. Many people are trying to use up the end of the year vacation. Sure. It's just, it's a slower time as people spend time with families.
Yeah.
The state budget isn't out yet, so we don't know what kind of allocation we're going to see in the program. So we don't really start, you know, real hot and heavy on getting that done yet. So, you know, if I look back, you know, some of the things I think, obviously the big one is the jail.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, I shouldn't say no, not too many people in their right mind would say, hey, let's spend $100 million and build a jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the last thing you'd want to build. There's other recreational opportunities, educational opportunities, you know, health, human services that you'd much rather probably spend money on. But the reality is, when you have a jail that's obsolete and controls that don't work and safety for your corrections officers and all of those things that come together, it's something that needed to be done. Sometimes need and want are two different issues.
Yeah.
They've done a tremendous job on that. The jail ad hoc committee, Laura Valenstein, one of our local Wisconsin Rapids representatives, headed up that committee. The committee did an outstanding job. That's under construction. If you drive by, you probably see the biggest crane you've ever seen in Wisconsin Rapids.
In Rapids,
sitting outside the building there.
I get hit by nostalgia every time I see those cranes. Where I was growing up, I saw them every day. So seeing them here in town is very nostalgic for me. It's very cool to see. And I also, like when I was a kid and I saw those, I thought the same thing I'm seeing of them now as an adult here in Rapids. I see dollar signs. I see dollar signs not only staying in town here because we don't have to send, people.
We're not shipping prisoners out of county.
But also, I see a safety a thing there. I see so much in just that crane. I've been past there a couple times, so I've seen some of the little work they're doing. But most of the time, I'm driving through town, and I'm just seeing the cranes. And every time I see them, that is the conversations with you, the conversations with other board members, conversations with Sheriff Becker, they all come back. And honestly, this is just me speaking here. This should have been done ages ago. This should have been done a long time ago, but it's getting done now. That's what counts. We live in the present. And in looking ahead, I'm proud of this generation. I'm proud of that board, of all the people I just mentioned, of this city coming together. Because, yeah, I'm sure you've heard maybe even more than I have, Lance, but I've heard some people over the last 2 years that are pushing back on this and everything. And we've had some good conversations, but I haven't had one conversation that was dark or negative or anything like that. It's just two people talking that may not seem eye to eye, but nothing like tense or anything like that, because even they seem to get that this is good. I think that even they would agree that it needs to be done. Maybe they just didn't want it done on their tax break, on their taxes, which I get that. I understand it. But at the same time, look, that's the point of living right now, is doing things for the future, doing things so our kids don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, without all the information, you know, that's some of the pushback you get. The people that attended all of the informational meetings we had, you know, Rapids, Marshfield, everywhere in between, once they were explained, you know, what the cost was to continue to do what we were doing, what the cost was to build, the advantages and disadvantages, I didn't have anybody walk out of there who didn't understand the process. So, you know, I look at that as a success as we move forward. The other thing, you know, if you have a relative, a loved one who's incarcerated, you expect them to be safe as well. You know, they may have committed a crime, there may have been a violation, but you don't expect them to have a problem, you know, when they're in our care. You expect them to be safe. So, I mean, that was a success. Some of the things we did in the parks, I think, some of the improvements there have been a tremendous success. I think if you look back over the last couple of years and you look at what our health department did, and it's winding up to some extent, or at least we're getting control, you know, the COVID situation, how we were able to keep businesses open, get schools back in session, work with all of those partners. I think that was a tremendous success and a huge challenge. And, you know, that's one place that I really have to laud our board for the ability to look forward and say, yeah, I can shut everything down, but if I do, there's consequence. And there's consequence to everything that we do to some extent. You know, I look at the successes everywhere. Our planning is, I could go right down the hall, you know, our planning and zoning offices, some of the development that they're part of and they get done. You know, I hate to even single them out, our land and water guys. They've all got projects that have been ongoing, and I don't know that we've had a lot of failures in those areas, you know, as we try to get our arms around it. But like everybody else, you know, I try to make every decision based on what would I do at home? You know, there's things, you know, as an individual. You know, and I've made this comment before, but it's pretty hard to put new carpeting in the living room if you have a hole in the roof over the living room and snow and rain are coming through. Wouldn't make a lot of sense.
No.
So when we sit back as a county, you try to prioritize. You say, you know, what's going to be beneficial in the long run? And some of the stuff that looks short-sighted to somebody on the outside really has a very positive return on the back end. You know, you say, why would you hire, let's say, an extra person in child support? Well, if child support collections go up and you have children who aren't otherwise being funded by, I'll say, tax dollars and taxpayers, you might say, well, that I'm making numbers up just, you know, but if I'm going to pay $50,000 up front to do that, you say that's a $50,000 expenditure. But if I collect $150,000 on the other end, it's a net $100,000, you know, to the program, the kids, and it becomes very beneficial. Much of what we do is like that. You say, you know, what's the short-term cost? What's the long-term benefit?
Yeah.
Drug court is an example of those. When a sheriff's department and the judges in our county have been very cooperative, go to electronic monitoring, you know, as a means of, instead of incarceration.
Yeah.
All of those things benefit everybody in the long run. And the biggest thing we can do, James, and you and I talk about this all the time, is if we made a mistake, change it.
Yeah.
You know, I say, we're not doing, we're not neurosurgeons. I'm not taking part of your brain out. I'm not, I don't have your heart in my hand while I'm a you know, cardiothoracic surgeon. If we made a mistake, you say, oops, you go back and fix it.
Yeah.
There's some things that some people do in other professions that that's pretty tough. But when you're in politics, if you're governed by a letter after your name, sometimes you have to march along certain lines. When you work at the local level, you say, what do we do right? What do we do wrong? If we did it wrong, hey, let's fix it.
Yeah. There's plenty there that we can unpack. There's a lot there. One of the things I want to focus on, though, is the health department, like you mentioned, and in part to thank you, because there were a couple of times this year that, and in the last couple of years, where your segment, we had things we could talk about, but you brought them in, and we shifted our focus onto them and what that topic was. That was you kind of giving your time, and I appreciate that, especially one note in particular. We had some knuckleheads come to town this year and try to put our health department on the spot, and I appreciate the way that we were able to handle that as a community, as a city, and stand up and stand by our health department and give them the credit and the respect that they so strongly deserve and don't get nearly enough. That was a moment for me that stands out of last year, and you know, looking ahead after that, the way that the community, like, not only surrounded them, but was very kind of protective of our own, and seeing that again, and I feel like we lost some of that. I don't know where, and I don't know when, but it was sometime in the last couple of years, last 5-6 years, something like that. That pride that we took in looking out for each other, that pride that we took in our community, and being there for each other. The pandemic kind of created a lot of selfism, a lot of those things. I think we're getting back to some more of that as we're seeing, you know, it's not you go 5 seconds and hear somebody say, buy, you know, support local, buy local, that kind of thing. Well, it's now we're not just saying it, you're seeing the numbers back it up. You're seeing people actually buying local, supporting local.
You know, it's just generally respect. You know, I'm one of 19 board supervisors. I get one vote. I do get involved maybe at a much closer level in my administrative role with, you know, departments over the course of the year. But every one of those people has an equal amount of credit. And it's amazing how much you can get done when you don't care who gets the credit.
Right.
And, you know, I always laugh when, you know, you get those invitations. Can you meet us for a dinner? Can you, would you want to come and wave in the parade? I go, well, there's 18 other people. Who do an equal amount of work.
Right.
Are they all invited?
yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, I tend to shy away from some of those things. And I think that cooperative effort, you know, that collaborative thought process, compromise, how do we get where we're going at the end of the day? And, you know, personally, from a political standpoint, if I call that, I'm not always going to get what I want. My wish is not always the wish of the entire board. And I'm glad that we have a board that has the ability to say, my issue, well, either I prevailed or I didn't. If I didn't, maybe I should have had a better argument, and let's go on to the next issue. sometimes, you know, you sit there at home and you go, yeah, I wish you would have done something different. But that can't be the take that I have when I meet with you or somebody else. I mean, I'm speaking for the Wood County Board and for our departments. So, yeah, the credit goes to the staff, to the board, and to our partners. You know, when we went through the COVID, the early part of COVID, when you didn't know if you were going to die if you went to the drinking fountain or touched something at the copy machine, you know, the work that Sue Smith and our health department did in conjunction with local businesses, with the school districts, their superintendents. I mean, the weekly meetings. And then they touch base and come to me. I had calls every day going, when are you going to shut down everything? And I go, I'm not going to. We're going to use common sense. We're going to work with everybody, and we're going to try to come up with solutions. Sometimes credit is heaped upon somebody for doing something, and you really didn't do anything. It's the people that you said that you support, that you work with, and they're the heroes out there. You know, I don't go to those calls when there's an accident or when the police get called. I'm not out there plowing snow, nor are our board members. I'm not out there generally cleaning the parks and doing the things that make this a great place to live and recreate and enjoy. All those people are. So I guess, you know, if I'm talking to people at the end of the year, I said, when you see those people, thank them. You know, I'm occasionally somebody will yell across the street when I'm downtown, thank you for the time you spend. Because at the local level, obviously staff are paid. But those people that represent you, whether they be on the town board, city councils, county board members, those are generally, I don't mean totally unpaid, but unpaid positions. I mean, I hear things all the time like, well, you guys get health insurance. No, they don't get health insurance. You have retirement. No, you don't have retirement. Well, you make $50,000 a year. No, they make maybe $200 a month. So it's a totally different reality than sometimes the perception. So I guess the biggest thanks they ever get is that occasional just thank you. Or attaboys, or attagirls. Anybody else?
I appreciate you mentioning that too. It's when we were talking with Mayor Blazer about this, and I was mentioning how there's certain departments, certain places that never get a thank you. I can't be the only one that noticed that during the pandemic and in the since then and all that, my garbage has been picked up every time. My recycling has been picked up on point every single time. Like during quarantine, during pandemic, the garbage gone. Not every city has something like that. And is that the biggest issue in the world? No, but it certainly could be if it's not getting done. Thank you to the garbage department. Thank you to all the people out there doing that. A big thank you, a big appreciation to them. Take a moment to thank them. I know we don't always see them, but if you get a chance to, send a thank you out there. It goes so much farther than you realize.
Yeah, we have a whole county program, educational program that kind of based around that. And it's questions like that. And to try not to go too far down the road, you know, it's like, who picks up the garbage? Where does it go? What happens when I flush a toilet? Who's running those facilities? How does that all work? You know, generally speaking, my electricity runs every day. Natural gas is delivered to my house. The propane guys show up. And that's cooperation at a lot of levels of government. And, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, we do well here is the other day, about a week ago, Congressman-elect, not Congressman yet, Van Orden called my office and said, they're calling us saying, hey, can we just sit down for an hour, a couple hours, and just talk about what issues are important to you? And so the mayor and I, Mayor Blazer and I, sat down in my office, and we just talked. I mean, we were all dressed basically, it was the day after that snowstorm. I mean, you know, knee boots on, rubber boots up to your knees, flannel shirts, a vest, and just sat around and talked. And I think that there's some recognition of what we do in our area, our county, our cities, you know, villages, towns, that's been successful. And I think if you replicate that at a state level and at a federal level, things would probably be better.
When you're looking at 2023, is that the hope to continue that, to keep that kind of thing going and even more with our parks, with our community?
Yes. You know, so one of the things, you know, we talked about, and it's a big one, we were allocated a lot of money through the rescue plan, the American Rescue Plan. Those monies have to be dedicated to a particular purpose by the end of 2024. We're starting to get our arms around where some of the larger chunks of that will go. And then that money has to be spent by the end of 2026. So, you know, we're in that process. And, you know, one of the things that our board has decided is we're not going to spend that operationally. A lot of counties said, oh, yeah, we're going to go back and we're going to pay for something that we do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And we said, no, we're going to take that. We should be able to budget for that. We've handled it always. If we're not budget for it, then we're spending too much money in those years. We're going to take that money and we're going to do things that create a legacy. Long term. You know, you can look at, and I keep saying parks, but we look at a project in the parks. We know we have a huge child care issue in Wood County. What can we do? And we've worked with some of the superintendents already in the health department. What can we do to set up a child care network in this county that allows that second income earner to go back to work because they know their child is being cared for well, safely, and that we have, you know, adequate capacity to do that? That would leave a legacy. It pays dividends way down the road. We know we have a housing shortage. Is there a way we as a county can facilitate getting the infrastructure in so that these builders and these construction people can come in, you know, kind of shorten the time frame from start to finish because the permitting processes are done. Those types of things.
And those are both those issues right there, gigantic issues that need to be addressed. And it's great to hear you guys are talking about that, that working on that. Looking so forward to next month or next time we get a chance to get together, Lance, and talk some more about these things. Really been a fun year talking with you. Really appreciate everything you, the board, does. A big shout out to you guys and thank you to you and wishing you guys a very happy new year.
Can't tell you how much we appreciate the time, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
And, of course, we got to both say a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and Embarrass Taylor and Joe and the gang over there.
Yeah, Taylor, jump in front of the camera for a second so they can see you.
Great work all year long. You guys do amazing stuff. We appreciate so much what you guys do for our community. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to working with you even more in 23.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great New Year's, bud.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
We'll come back with our friends from the ODC here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net, it scores!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you. Or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 35. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 32. Tonight, overcast. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Cloudy skies expected Friday with daytime highs approaching 33. 35 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine, part two for this December 28th, 2022. You have your host, James J. here, and I am joined right now by our great friends from the ODC. I want to welcome in Anna Lipek. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Good
Thanks.
To see you.
Thank you.
And we also want to welcome in Brian Ellie, Assistant Director of Customized and Self-Employment. Brian, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
And we have somebody else we have to introduce, don't we, Anne?
Of course we do.
Yeah, let's go. I was going to let you do it. Sorry. Or let him introduce himself, too.
Good morning, everyone. I'm David Bergman, and I've been at ODC for 29 years, and I sure do appreciate being back.
Yeah, we appreciate having you back, David. I don't know if I know it was 29 years you've been there, David. That's impressive. That is awesome.
I didn't know it was going to be that long either.
Well, David, thank you very much for being here. We're looking forward to talking with you. Before we get talking to Brian and a little bit about what he does and that, I know we wanted to get some thank yous, a bit of a year of review kind of thing. You want to start there?
Yeah, okay. That would be great. So, yeah, just want to share all of the great things that have happened at ODC over the last year, and really wanted to thank the community for all of their support. We couldn't do the things that we do without that support from the businesses, the individuals, foundations, people that support our programs, people that support us financially with donations. Some of our biggest accomplishments this year were some real expansion geographically. So we've now moved up into the Merrill area. We're over in Wautoma, Washera, Appleton, Oshkosh, Green Bay. So we're really expanding geographically. The other thing that has recently happened is we were able to open our outpatient mental health clinic here in Wisconsin Rapids, and we'll be opening another satellite location in Stevens Point here in the new year. But again, we really couldn't do what we do with all of the support. We really receive a lot of donations and grants that help us to do all of these cool and amazing things and help us to expand. And then looking forward into the new year, what we'll be able to share. So.
Well said, Anne. Brian, I believe this is the first time you've joined us, correct?
That's correct.
I thought so. Okay, so you should know something right out the gate. Journalistically, I have no integrity with this segment. I love the ODC. I am a huge backer of the ODC. They helped my family early on when we first moved to this town ages ago. My Aunt Pat, they took very good care of and gave her a freedom that I don't even know where she is right now because she's living her life and she's enjoying things and she's doing so much. And so when it comes to talking about the ODC, I get a little emotional and get a little protective sometimes because I appreciate what you guys do so very much. And the impact that you are able to make on our community is so vital to this community. I think in some ways you guys have been doing this so long that sometimes people, I don't want to say take it for granted or take advantage of it or anything like that, but we do this all the time in society, in life, where mom makes us lunch every day of our lives and then one day it stops and we're like, oh shoot, I really miss that. These kind of things we get used to. When it comes to the mental health facility opening up, this is a game changer. This is a gigantic difference maker when it comes to the clientele, when it comes to our community. I know we've been able to talk about it a bit, Anne, but when I say that, what do I mean by that exactly? What does that mean to the community? When I say this is a game changer, I think we talk mental health a lot nowadays with a lot of different fields. When it comes to this field, when it comes to what we're talking about in particular here.
Yeah, so, mental health services, Especially since 2020 and COVID, there has been a huge need for mental health services. And really what has happened is that the need has grown so quickly that people weren't able to get the services when they needed them because there weren't enough resources available in the community to support individuals. Wait lists were 4 to 6 months long at times when people are in really crisis mode and critically need services and then they can't receive them. I just was talking to our mental health clinic and there was an individual who shared a story that she almost was in tears when we called to set up an appointment to get her going with services because her family physician told her to expect 1 year wait to be seen, and she really didn't feel like she could. Things would be drastically different if she would have had to wait that year to get those services. And so it really is a game changer to have more resources available in the community. So we are so thankful. Like, we've had such generous supporters overall with starting our mental health clinic that it really has been amazing.
You know, I talk for a living. I'm supposed to know how to word things. But you put me in a situation like that where I'm talking to a therapist or I'm talking to somebody about mental health and I'm all thumbs. I have no idea how to express what's going on up here and get it out there. And that's me. For the clientele that often have difficulty with so many of these things that we take for advantage of, we take for granted all the time, imagine the difficulty there of expressing those things. And this is a big part of the reason why this is such a game changer, that this makes such a big difference. Mental health is the beginning, the domino in so many things in life. When your mental health is better, it makes so much of the rest of that 24 hours or the rest of your day or week or what have you that much more productive, that much better for society, for your community, all of that. It starts as kind of an individual thing, but it really branches out and bleeds into almost everything else. Mm-hmm. So having something like that, it really, when we say game changer, we're not just throwing that term out there. There truly is one. And this doesn't happen, like as you said, without the support of the community, without the funding, the sponsors, all the different people that come together to make this happen.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, I think about the individuals that really need the support at a critical time. It really is, can be very difficult. And people, you know, if they don't get the support when they need it, bad things can really happen.
Absolutely.
And I think for people, even taking that first step and reaching out is difficult in itself. And then when you're told you have to wait to get the help and support, you know, by the time they're asking for help, it's already crisis mode.
Statistically, one of the most, even the most planner of people, the most impromptu or spur of the moment thing we do is make doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, therapy appointments, these things. And if that, you're so right, if that person on the other line is like, I can't help you for another year, what is the odds of that person actually fitting out that appointment a year later? Let alone that by the time they get to that appointment, I was completely fine for this past year up until I got to talk to you. Now I'm back to where, no, that's not how that works. It's not how our minds work. We know we're struggling, we're suffering. So getting the timing is so crucial to this. Mm-hmm. That's a really key part to bring up to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that there is a lot of people to thank, a lot that has happened in the past year. I don't want to cut you off though. Was that kind of, you're there? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll go ahead and take our break right here. And then I want to come put Brian on the spot. I got to make him earn his time here. We'll do that. We come back. We'll talk with David some. And we'll have some more fun with our friends from the ODC on Morning Magazine here at WFHR.
Pride.
Left corner three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes. It counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together,
we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
WFHR Weather is sponsored by Hartle Monuments, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids. The monument you create will be remembered by family and friends for years to come. Hartle Monuments will make it special. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 35. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 32. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 39. Temperatures above average Friday and Saturday with highs from the low 30s to the mid 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Thanks a lot, Virginia. And welcome back, everybody, to the morning show, morning magazine here at WFHR. We're speaking with our friends from the ODC. We have Ann with us. We have David. And we have Brian Ellie with us. Brian is assistant director and customized self-employment over at the ODC. And Brian, thank you very much for being with us today. Wanted to get to know you a little bit because you haven't been able to join us before. Can you tell us what your job is necessarily, what you do over at the ODC?
Sure. Approximately 3 months ago, ODC was awarded a grant to develop a self-employment program, which assists individuals that are interested in starting their own micro enterprise or small business. That's where it started at. So I've been working with clients who are interested in that.
Very cool.
Which gives them a totally different avenue as far as traditional employment.
Really does. And I want to get into more of that. But your background, what brought you to this field?
Well, I worked 24 years for the state of Wisconsin, and this position became available. And I just felt it was the right change. And I've only been here a short time, but I can certainly say that the change has been great.
That's good to see.
ODC is a family. No complaints whatsoever.
Yeah. Very cool. Very good to hear. We have talked a lot about as a country and certainly on our shows here and everything about last couple of years and a lot of the great migration that has happened with a lot of people leaving jobs for careers or jobs for passions. I've got about 20 students that have Etsy store, things and stuff, and they're making a living doing that and doing stand-up comedy or something like that. So it's interesting to hear your change and your shift, but also what your job is and what you're helping people do. In essence, a little of that, a little of helping people be able to be more independent, be able to be more self-reliant and financially, which is such an essence of what the ODC is all about, is building individuals up, encouraging independence in these things and helping people feel so stronger on their own two feet. So that's really interesting to hear about that. Is there a big avenue for this, or a big avenue beginning for this for the clientele there, being able to work more independently?
I think so. We've gotten quite a few referrals in the first few months that I'm helping them develop their businesses. For instance, right now we have a gentleman who's pursuing making his own fishing lures.
Cool.
And another gentleman that is a videographer. Hmm. So I've been working with them and their families to kind of get this going and developed, and it's been going really well.
I can't imagine what it might feel like, you know, for David or any of the clientele to be able to collect a paycheck and be able to do that on their own independently. But the level of being able to do something like that is another game changer right there. It's another of where it's really about them and really strips to their independence and everything. It's just I don't even have the words for it. It's so cool. It's so beautiful. That's so awesome.
It's a, you know, it's a very person-centered approach to employment.
Yeah.
Wonderful, everybody has dreams, everybody has goals. And be able to be your own boss, make your own hours, and do what you love to do is certainly what everyone hopes to attain in life.
Well, we've already figured out that David's going to be taking my job, so I will be contacting you, Brian. And I can see why you have Brian. I can see he's good. He's good at this. Is there are things that the community can do to help with this, Brian? Is there things that, you know, certainly being knowledgeable of it, I think, is a start. But are there businesses, are there people that can reach out to you with ideas or thoughts if they think they can add to this and help with this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of this, too, is for our clients to be inclusive in their community. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's part of it. And, you know, kind of getting that recognition that I'm really a part of this community. I have my own business. I'm no different than anyone else, you know. So obviously anyone from the community business wise certainly appreciate any input they might have.
Before we let you guys go today, we'll get your information and let them know how they can get a hold of you. As we're talking about independence and these things and building up the clientele, we have to address Mr. Buckman here, because David is a shining example of so many of these things. And we were talking, thank you, David, for not only being here, for being that example. And we're talking a little bit during our break here about this, David. For you and your situation, you were in a situation where you weren't sure what was going, where you might live or what you might do independently, but there was a program that was really beneficial to help you be able to be more independent. Could you tell us what that program was?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I can. It's called the ODC Living Staff or whatever. Anyway, I have a lady that comes in part-time. I don't know if she's listening to me on the radio or not, but her name is Madison Callahan, and she comes in, and she and I really get along great with one another, you know, and she and I make certain kinds of foods like stir fry and stuff like that. I don't know, James, if you ever had any stir fry or have you?
Oh yeah, I had some good stir fry before. Yeah, good stuff.
My dad, you know, what Ann was pointing out. Ever since my parents died, and she's right. At first I didn't know where I was going to live, and then everything just settled down, and I really enjoy living in my family home and here in Wisconsin Rapids. I mean, this is where I belong. So
agreed. Yeah, and we're happy to have you. We're lucky to have you, David.
Thank you.
And I would like to touch on this program a little bit. I don't think we get a chance to talk about it nearly enough, and I appreciate David bringing it up and us being able to dive into this one, because every human being deserves this. Every single person on the planet deserves to be able to live freely, independently, and all these things. We understand that... We understand, I think, most of us at a certain age that life isn't fair necessarily, but we as individuals can make certain things even the score a little bit. And it feels like this program does a lot of that. Can we just touch a little bit more on it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so our daily living skills, really, it kind of, when COVID hit again, we really had to reinvent ourselves. And that's really when this program really developed and exploded, because people were staying home, weren't getting the social interaction, weren't getting out, and so really people were feeling very isolated. Yeah. And so this program was developed to help minimize that isolation that people were feeling, but then also kind of turned into, how do we help people be more independent? And so, you know, the program really works with individuals like David to teach them how to be independent and teach them the skills rather than us going in and doing the laundry, doing the cooking. It's about teaching the skills and gaining that independence. And David is a perfect example. Like he lived with his, he lived with his parents his entire life. And when they passed away, it really was, what's going to, you know, where's David going to live? And how is that going to work? And so he is living in his family home that he grew up in, and he's living there independently with some support that comes in occasionally to help with whatever is needed. So it really is about providing just that right amount of support to allow people that independence and feel good about it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
David, is there a part of this process? Is this part of this program that you've enjoyed more than other things? This sounds like you've enjoyed the cooking a lot.
Well, it's like I said earlier, and is right. At first, I didn't know where I was going to live, and then all of a sudden, I got more independently, and I'm still living in my family home, which I really do enjoy.
Yeah.
Being there ever since my mom and dad passed away. So, of course, I miss my parents a lot. But
and I am sorry you lost them, but I got to think that they are awfully proud of you. They are very, very proud of you and very thankful for this situation. I did, to rewind for a second, you guys, I did mean to ask Brian about the grant that was, I'll let you go ahead and talk about it, Brian, because I'm not going to know what I'm talking about, but you go right ahead. But there was a grant available that you guys had mentioned that you guys were going to talk about, I believe. Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
It's my portion of the grant. It's a little bit complicated, but ODC received a grant from ARPA to develop a self-employment program for individuals seeking self-employment in the state of Wisconsin. There's a lot of different aspects to this grant, but we're very fortunate to have received it.
Right. So really, again, what by receiving the donations and grants, it allows us to do these new and innovative projects. Because we normally would receive dollars from county and state agencies. Well, right now we're in development startup mode and working with just a few handful of people. Mm-hmm. So there's not that revenue associated with what Brian is doing currently. So the grant really helped us to provide the resources, the training, the startup funds to get it going. Mm-hmm. Without that, I don't know if we could be doing some of the things that we're doing, because those grants allow us to start up without the funding following it.
Mm-hmm. And just to add to what Ann said, what ODC is doing right now is kind of a trendsetter in the state of Wisconsin. You know, we're kind of going to be the pilot for self-employment programming throughout the state. So it's a great avenue.
When I was a kid, and Pam Ross came to our house and talked to us about what the ODC is and what their mission was and a lot of these things, I remember my Nana Papa, her leaving, my Nana Papa talking about how, I remember my Nana crying, to be honest with you guys, and she was an emotional person. She's Italian, so we're Italian. Of course, we're emotional, but it was more a happiness thing. My Nana's no longer with us, but I can't imagine how excited, how happy she is. Very similar to your parents, David, to know what has come from my aunt and so many other people. Because when my Nana talked to my Papa about, it wasn't just my Aunt Pat, it was people like my Aunt Pat, people in that situation. And as a former nurse, for her, she did not had heard of many organizations like this, let alone the ODC here in town. We were new. So the future looking so bright back then, 20, 30, or 30 years ago, whatever this was, I forget how old I am sometimes. I can't tell you how awesome this is and how cool it is to see that almost every time you guys join us, we are talking about a new project, a new program, something new that is being added to benefit not just the ODC, but our whole community, our whole state, in many ways, as you were kind of touching on there, Brian. Before we let you go, I did want to mention Milkweed Market, because I have to, because I love Milkweed Market. I cannot do have you guys on the air and not mention Milkweed Market.
Can I just say one other thing as far as... As far as Milk Creek Market is concerned, anyway, I'm going to talk about this fast. A couple of days a week, I did have a job working in the ODC milkweed market, and this was my first time ever doing a job like that. I never worked inside that store until mm-hmm. now. So I did have a few Wednesdays that I did actually work there. So
yeah, you really enjoyed it over there?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, yes.
Good to hear. Yeah, it's one of the things that Milkweed Market can do and does do for our community, giving the clients there not only work, but some sense of purpose, a good feeling, and at the same time, giving our community some of the greatest, most individual items you will ever find, like, and creating those items, I should
Correct.
Mention, too.
Correct. Yep. So we create all of the wooden decor within ODC. And you're right, Milkweed Market gives people an opportunity to learn new skills, but also we provide a valuable service to the community. Actually, Milkweed Market this past year is completely run by individuals with disabilities. We do have, it was structured a little differently in the past, mm-hmm. but we do have a staff person that runs the store, but her goal is to work with the individuals and train them in all aspects. So the store is really being run by individuals with disabilities with the support of a staff person, whereas in the past, it was run by the staff
yeah.